sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, the show about sex and happiness. And today, the show is extraordinary. This is a replay or an edited version of the Five Goddess panel that I put together in the Sex Museum in New York in May 2015. Then we got back together again, and we were on Reverend Goddess Charmaine's radio show, and I edited it down for Sex and Happiness. I took out the call-ins, but I did leave the answers to the questions that the callers asked us. You will learn a lot. We go really deep into how we keep ourselves juicy, how we stay turned on, what our mission is on the planet. It's incredible. I know you're going to enjoy it. So here we go.
I have such a fantastic evening for you all. And if you were there back in May 12th to be exact, and you were at the Museum of Sex, you got the start of it. You got the start of something really good happening, the group Sex of the Goddesses. We threw it down that night. And I am so happy that we all took the time to get together again and continue and explore and expand our conversation. It's me, Reverend Goddess Charmaine, the sensuous mystic. And the sensuous mystic in me honors the sensuous mystic in you. All right, we're going to have our goddess panel, and we're going to talk to Luba Saraswati, Lori Handlers, Isis Phoenix, and Tini Dakini. I love them all. They are my goddesses. Let me bring them in so we can get going here. I have here, hey, Tini.
Hi there.
Thank you for making the time to join tonight. You ready for it?
I am so ready, so happy to be here, and I am admiring that you are not only a goddess that works with all the realms, but also technology. So thank you.
Yes, we need that. Yes, thank you.
We do.
Let me bring in my next lovely goddess, Lori. Hey, Lori, how you doing? Lori Handlers.
Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to be here, and Tini, you're cracking me up right away.
And let me bring in Isis Phoenix. Hey, baby, how you doing?
Hey, goddesses. I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be on the call tonight with my favorite ladies. Namaste.
Namaste. And
namaste.
Forever, we will love you forever. Luba Saraswati. Hey, Luba. How you doing, goddess?
Hello, darling. Yeah, I'm great. Just got back from Spain from another big goddess gathering and right back to my home goddesses.
Wow, that's wonderful. Wow. So tell me, goddesses, just jump right in. How have you been since we were all together at the Museum of Sex? I mean, I know Luba, she just got back from Spain. What else have you all been doing? And Lori, you were in Montreal, right?
I was in Montreal. I was the keynote speaker at a conference called Sexual Renaissance. And I spoke on sex magic. And then I was also on a panel about bringing consciousness to sexuality, so, and expanding the field of love on the planet.
Nice, nice. And Tini, what have you been up to?
I've been doing some traveling and some loving of some really wonderful people. And I have to say that being on that panel with all you goddesses really activated me, that I felt really incredible and inspired right after that. And I noticed that even I went to the bodega to get something to eat, and I had like five people that couldn't take their eyes off me. So there was something very tantric and amazing happening in that space. Thanks, ladies.
Of course. Now, Isis, what have you been up to?
So much, both professional and personal. Right after that amazing night that was quite electrifying, I went and had attended a sexuality and disabilities conference that was being held at Mount Sinai. in New York, and it was particularly speaking about sexuality for people who are recovering from spinal cord injury. And I got to take a dear friend of mine, Lindsay, who has ALS, to the conference. And we're just trying to find some workability in her sexual and romantic life with her husband, as her body has a way of deteriorating. And what does sexuality in a healthy sexual romantic life look like as your body is rapidly changing? So those have been inquiries I've been up with. I've also just been to visit my parents, and that is always kind of the most interesting time to be a goddess. I'm like, how does this work back in the Midwest? And it's going, I think my family is catching on. My mom and I talked a lot about the plants, and she's kind of a plant shaman in her own way. And that's where my biggest growth edge is bridging the goddesshood with the really basic tribal energy.
Wonderful. I don't know what to say. I've been going through a lot of stuff, a lot of challenges, health-wise, family issues, and I'm at another level with my body too. Turning 50 has been really fascinating for me. I mean, it's a trip to me. I mean, I know, Lori, I know you got a lot to say about aging and life and never dying.
I'm jumping right in. Never
So, you're going to have to do some more work magic on me, because the last time you were on my show, you had me doing all kinds of rituals the next day. So I'm ready for that, goddess. So I'm just so happy we are together tonight. And just to continue our conversation, where should we begin? Should we begin with just arousal, or should we just begin with how we're going to save the planet? What should we do?
Well, we're going to save the planet through arousal. So, everybody has to get aroused. So we can start wherever.
All right. Yeah, let's start with that. I remember last time we were breathing and rubbing our breasts, and I was bringing all that energy into the heart chakra. How have you been, goddesses, how do you keep yourselves aroused? Let's talk about how we keep ourselves as goddesses aroused in our own life. I mean, I know we always have so much going on, and we're happy, and we're so happy our families are now joining in and loving us as the goddesses that we are. But how do you keep yourself aroused with your partners and your lifestyle, sexually, just passionately about your work? How do you do that? How can we help others?
That's a great question. I can jump right in if you want, and then other people can respond.
Please do.
So part of how I keep myself aroused is, I consider everything that I do making love to life. So I create adventures.
All right. So whether it's creating adventures, travel, or adventures in changing up what I do, changing my routine all the time, that's how I keep my life aroused, different things. And then in terms of my own sensuality, I like to flirt. Sometimes I flirt online. I have some long-standing people that I've been flirting with for years in different countries. So it's safe. I don't really have to meet them if I don't want to, but I flirt with them.
Oh.
And then I have personal rituals that I do, and I know you have a bunch of them as well.
Yeah.
I have rituals where I just take care of myself. Like right now, it's summer, so I swim in my pool naked, and I might lay in the sun just for a few minutes because I don't like to do that too much anymore. But then when I'm all warm and feel really heated up, I might go into my room, put on some music, and do myself, bring myself to orgasm. I also, you may think this is crazy, all of you, but I do coffee enemas on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
Years ago, I read, here we go, Charmaine. My invitation to you. Years ago, I read in Betty Dodson's first book, the one before she called it Sexual One, it was called Liberating Masturbation. And she talked about doing enemas, and she said if you were going to do enemas for your health, you might as well get yourself excited to make pleasurable, because some people think enemas aren't pleasurable. So when I was 22, I started doing coffee enemas, and I use my vibrator, and when the coffee is inside me, I have an orgasm before I let the coffee out.
Oh, my God. Okay, please, all right, explain. Okay, how do I do a coffee enema? Do I have to boil the coffee, make the coffee like I'm going to drink it, and then put it in the
Well, that's what I used to do in the old days before there was organic coffee. As a matter of fact, in Washington, D.C., when I lived there, when I first started Tantra, they used to call my home Starbucks because people used to come over and I used to teach them how to do enemas. So now there's organic coffee. You can get it in Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or whatever. And I make organic coffee. I don't boil it. I'll boil some water and I'll throw like a tablespoon of coffee in. And then I'll wait till it cools down, or I'll throw ice in, and then I'll put it into an enema bag, and then I'll take a really hot bath, and I'll put the coffee in while I'm in the hot bath.
And how often do you do that?
At least twice a week. Some people are proponents of doing it every day. I don't have time.
Okay, and then before, you put it in you, and then you self-love with the vibrator to the orgasm, and then you let it out?
Yes.
You mean you have it in you, and then you self-love, and you don't self-love, and then, girl,
I started doing it when I was 22, so you know that I'm well over 50 now, so I have very good anal sphincter control.
Yes, you do. Wow, I love that. Wow. Oh, I didn't expect, I'm going to try that. I like that. I
like
that.
So that's how I keep myself aroused.
Oh, my God.
I keep myself aroused.
That is incredible.
How do you keep yourself aroused, Isis?
Yeah, I think the first question I would go to is, how do I keep myself healthy? And then when I feel like I'm aligned with my perfect state of health, it also includes arousal. So I look at my basic self-care, self-pleasuring, and the support networks that I have too. One of my biggest ones was moving outside of New York City. Was I'm in Massachusetts and I have a garden now, and being in the garden outdoors, naked, getting in the earth. When I was in New York City, there was a part of myself that just wasn't able to really connect to the earth fully and to extend it and to get my hands into it and to be as entrained to the seasonal cycles as I could if I was actually, connecting to my own patch of earth that I had sovereignty over. And one of the things I thought about when I was in New York City, somebody asked me, like, okay, if you could have any sort of thank you present, I facilitated a baby blessing for a friend of mine. He said, what would you want? And I said, I would want a kiddie pool full of tomatoes, squishy tomatoes that I could rub all over my body and take a tomato bath in. And to me, that was the most sensual, ecstatic, pleasure-filled experience that I could possibly imagine. And so this summer, there were literally 100 tomato plants on my windowsill at one point, growing, that I've been slowly transplanting out into the garden so I can actually facilitate that experience for myself. So part of it was caring that much to give myself the experience that my body and my soul most desired to, and to go to those lengths of self-care. And then another way I keep myself as aroused is when I hang out with my girlfriends and I'm like, yeah, I know we're on a telephone call today, but I'm like, I'm putting on like a negligee and lipstick and perfume and getting dressed up, because part of it is the care of my body keeps me in a state of arousal. How silk feels laying over me, and how my own essential oil smells on my body too. So it's these like little tiny self-care rituals that start from like basic routines that I create, the naked gardening or going to my yoga class, or just finding time each day to really touch my body in a love-filled way. And then the more extensive rituals of like, okay, this is my summer of 100 tomato plants. Let's see what can happen after that and what I can give fully to myself in that way. So I think the more nourished I am just on a health level, and the more tiny little rituals I create for myself, or long-standing big rituals of growing 100 tomato plants, that keeps me in a state of health and arousal, so I can be more vibrant and alive in the world.
Excellent. So we started out with breakfast with coffee. Now we're into lunch with vegetables, luba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. How do you keep yourself aroused?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm pretty much always aroused. And if I'm not aroused, that means I'm not eating right. So the first thing that I do is I immediately switch to some kind of raw diet, especially raw juices and energy soups. And then I naturally get into a very sensual state, which can be really expanded by belly dance. As you know, I do belly dance. I enhance belly dance also with Vajroli mudras, which is basically the work of a Pishi muscle. My uterus really works when I do belly dance movements, and that is very, very arousing. I also sometimes do really long self-massage sessions, and that can be a really good meditation. It might seem a little bit difficult at first when you start doing it and kind of silly, but then you can get into it, especially with breast massage and massage of their, let's say, inner thighs or this really beautiful places inside of the elbows and around the neck, and that really works very well for me. I also, you might know that I'm creating this whole new online presence. I work with a lot of very sexy young guys, basically. And yeah, even if I don't physically meet them when I'm alone in the retreat center, I talk to them on Skype, and they are all just absolutely ecstatic, and that is really, really arousing, actually. You know? So I also have a meditation that I've developed, which I called Triple Spark Meditation. And I recorded it, and sometimes I listen to my own meditation. And that is very interesting. It's an interesting experience. And that also includes pelvic movements, and it includes squeezes of PC muscles, and it includes transmutation of the sexual energy into some kind of subtle energy. And what I also do is I sleep as much as I want. I hate alarm clocks. When I sleep according to my natural cycles, that is the biggest lubrication for me and biggest arousal. There is something else that I do sometimes, especially when I overwork. When I go to sleep and I get under the blanket naked, what I do is I let all of my thoughts get out of my system, remembering that in essence I'm the infinite being, and I'm just playing in this life. So it's some kind of a game of sadness and joy and achievement and failure and things like that. But in essence, I can just start breathing as love, you know? And I breathe that. And as I breathe, I imagine that I have this bliss that is spreading over my body. And that's how I fall asleep. And when I fall asleep like that, and this bliss reaches out to different parts of my body. So when I fall asleep like that, I often have really nice erotic dreams. And then I wake up very aroused as well. And the last thing, one more thing that comes to mind is that sometimes I go dancing, let's say to Latin dancing or tango or some kind of activity where I just forget that I'm a teacher or that I'm a doer or anything of the sort, and just surrender to pure feminine energy and allow masculine energy to come in pretty close, you know, and I breathe that in, and that keeps me aroused. Of course, we're not mentioning the obvious, great sex with people, you know, is probably the biggest recipe for further arousal, you know. Good sex only gives you appetite for more sex, right? So, yeah, so that's what's happening to me.
I love it. I love it. Now, team, what are you doing yourself aroused?
Well, I'm going to say that a lot of sisters here have said things that I resonate with around that health, being as healthy as possible and doing those basics of eating well and sleeping well. And for me, a lot of it is doing what makes me feel beautiful. I find that there's a lot of things in life, especially as women, that can try to take away your self-esteem and convince you that you need this outfit or a different kind of body or whatever. And something that I've come back to again and again is belly dance also, that I've had years and years of dancing that just totally allows me to be in touch with my deep feminine and make me feel really beautiful and also really powerful. So, and I look for those things and I bring them to mind when I need them. So even having Amrita, female ejaculation, that's a time that, of course, usually comes at very high arousal and also makes me feel really powerful. So I just remember those things. I allow my body to remember them with me. And what I also do is I make sure to seek life. By that, I, even when I'm with people, I notice who's really, really alive. And I like to interact with those people and hang out with those people and perhaps even have an adventure with them. Because if somebody is really moving toward rigidity, and I know that Lori and I have talked about this concept of aging where you move toward rigidity and your thoughts get rigid and then your body gets rigid, and I'm just not interested. So I don't identify with the frequency of the downhill slope. Doing my best to identify with that seek life frequency. So the young, the youthful, the vibrant, the turned on. What turns people on? Music, moving our bodies, you know, the elements, the sun, just taking time to relax and be sensual. And of course, all those things like having a sensual practice, using sexual energy, orgasmic energy to either relax me or to excite me and pump me up for whatever I want to engage that day. So I'm a big believer in, you know, have your orgasms at night and then have them again in the morning.
Oh, yeah, there's something actually I wanted to add, which I forgot, which I think is very important, is the clothing. You know, I think everyone can relate to that, right? Wearing clothing that will make you feel free and sensual, and that always works for me. And also one more tip, actually this plant, Peruvian plant maca, sometimes I would take like a month, a maca for a month or two, and then I would drop it and then I would come back to it, and I've been doing this for the last probably 2-3 years, and that really also builds up the feminescence, the feminine energy.
Excellent. I love, you know, I'm always naked at home. So being naked at home is just the norm. So it's not, sorry, everybody, but it's not necessarily the most arousing thing when you're always naked. It's like, I'm naked. I'm good. You know, it's fine. But I really, my tits are there, my ass. The only time it gets like fun is like if I'm bending over the counter and Steve's like, oh, that's my ass. He smacks his ass or he rubs himself on me. Then it's like, oh, that's arousing. I'm washing dishes and he comes behind me and rubs me up my belly and then plays with my nipples and then walks away and kisses my shoulder. That's arousing. But you know what I really, really like? What turns me on is like clockwork. It's just in my body. I wake up in the morning. I walk downstairs into my kitchen. I light the candles on my altar. And then I walk over to my, I have a coat rack in the hallway and I have like a 8-prong, I think you would call it, coat rack. Thing across the wall with the hooks, right? And have all kinds of jackets and stuff on it. I have 3 of them. I dominate with like 7 sarongs on each. All these beautiful sarongs. I would pick the prettiest ones and I wrap myself in it. That's, I feel really aroused then. And sometimes I'll just wrap it around my hip and I'll let it have a little train behind me while I'm walking around. I'm doing, making my coffee, washing dishes, doing laundry, doing my morning readings, and whatever it is I'm doing. What turns me on? Putting my yoni egg in my pussy. And then sitting down and meditating for 10 minutes, emerging, 20 minutes, whatever I feel like. You know what turns me on? When I'm in my bathroom, I always say to my husband, I'm going to the bathroom now. I'm going to go shit, shower, and shave. That means I'm going to be gone for a minute. Uh-huh. I go in the bathroom, I put on meditation music, I sit down on the toilet. I don't even have to go half the time. I just sit there I put my feet, you know, when you have, you know, the stool that you put your feet up on, so your spine is aligned, so you go, you eliminate completely. I sit there, I listen to an album of meditation music, I breathe, and then I shower, and I shave, and I get out. And everybody, if you've seen any of my Vimeo videos, you know what I'm doing in my bathroom. I'm dancing, and I'm dancing. And I'm ritual, and I'm fivefold kissing, and I'm like moving my pussy around because it looks good, and I'm bending over so you can see my ass. Oh my God, it turns me on so much to light my candle in my bathroom, have my incense going, and to shit, shower, and shave. That's my routine, and I get so turned on by it. I put my salon back on, and I go out for the day. If I have to leave the house, then I'll put clothes on because I have to, because people can't handle it. I just want to go out with my sarong on, but you can see through my sarong. So I have to put on a sundress or some stretch pants or shorts and a shirt. So that's what turns me on. And it means from meditation to dancing to putting on a sarong to lighting my candles, meditating, merging, really, really, merging with my husband, merging with my crystals really turned me on. Oh, and oh my God. Now, Lori. When I self-love with my vibrator and my yoni egg in, I can have multiple orgasms. Can you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's
oh
a wonderful
God.
Self-love ritual. Absolutely.
Oh God, with my yoni egg in, I just go completely insane. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm like, I cannot keep doing this because I'm not going to be able to have orgasms with my husband if I keep doing it this way. It's not true. With the yoni egg in, it opens me up more to more and more pleasure. So when I am with my husband, I'm gaining more sensation in my body. I'm gaining more sensation in my breast, in my back, in my crown chakra, in my pussy, in my toes to share with him. So even if I use a vibrator when I'm self-loving with a yoni egg inside, I've been okay to have greater pleasure with him when we have sex. So I know you know about the yoni eggs.
There are people who actually feel that using vibrators is a no-no because there's a point of view. I'm just going to call it a point of view. There's a point of view that using vibrators numbs the nerves on the clitoris, and therefore having sex with another human being who happens to be stimulating your clitoris with their hand or their tongue or their lips or whatever isn't the same. And so someone is numb and they're not able to get aroused that way. I don't happen to agree with that school of thought, so, you know, I sort of heard that in your comment, and I don't agree with it. The last thing I would want to do is discourage women and men from self-pleasure in any way that they get it. I mean, I'm sure that some people get off riding a motorcycle, you know, and so, and to me, that's just a big vibrator. Chini told me she used to own a motorcycle, so she'll weigh in on this in a second. But to me, a motorcycle is just a big vibrator. So
it's almost like all five of us on a motorcycle together, saving the world, orgasmic.
Chini, well, I just want to know now, when you rode your motorcycle, did it vibrate you? Was that a turn on?
You know, it was good. I've also ridden horses, too. So I guess I just like to, ride things. And the whole experience is wonderful. So, yes, I encourage it. Branch out. Sit on vibrating things. See what you like. If you have a washer at home or a dryer, that may be what you have to use.
On my show, I once interviewed Dr. Eva Cadell. And she said she has some book about little secrets about different places in the house and different things you could do to make love. And she said one of the things that she thinks is the hottest turn on is to make love on the clothes dryer.
On what?
So, on top of the clothes dryer.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can imagine this.
I didn't try it yet. It's too hot in Phoenix, Arizona to do that. So somebody in the Northeast is going to have to let me know about that.
Let me tell you something, Lori, back in the day, okay, I went through using a vibrator so much that I became numb in my clit. And it would get to a point where I couldn't even come anymore with a vibrator. And I would be using it for 90 minutes or longer. And I had a crazy experience where I fell asleep with the vibrator between my legs, and it melted
in the chair.
Oh my God! And I woke up, and it was melted in the chair. I pulled the plug, and it sparked. I thought I was going to start a fire. But let me tell you what I realized from that time, and about body and connection, and where we are now, women. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it is about connection. When I was doing the vibrator, then I was really about goal-oriented, profane sex. I got to come. I got to get off. I wasn't about the pleasure in my body and my pussy and my clit and my heart and my ass and my toes. I wasn't about multiple orgasms, because if you're just focusing on your clit to come, yeah, it's going to get tired. It's a muscle. It's going to need more sensation to orgasm. So when I went through that downtime and I stepped away from it, from like people that complain about, oh, no, you shouldn't use a vibrator. I personally really think, having experienced that, that's where the problem is. If we're using vibrators and anything else to pleasure us, it's all part of our joy. It's all part of our meditation. When we are allowing ourselves to be open to pleasure, if I have a vibrator on my clit and something inside of the opening of my pussy, I'm also connected to how my nipples feel, how my mouth is wet, how my ass feels, how my arms might feel, my fingers, my toes. I'm breathing louder. I'm saying yes. I'm orgasming all over the place. And all it does is make me want more sex. And my orgasms open me up to having more orgasmic pleasure when I'm with my partner. I really think it's consciousness and intention when we're self-loving, whether we're using a toy or our hand, that brings us into a place that we can have more and more pleasure, and we can evolve with our orgasmic abilities. Because, I mean, I've experienced it both ways. That's why I said what I said earlier. And so when I self-love, I'm coming at it from that place now, and I notice a difference. And I didn't even compare it until just now. There is something about you, Lori, when you talk to me, you take me there. And every time. I know it's true. But I didn't even think about, oh, yeah, that's true. I did feel that way, that too much using a vibrator could cause you to get too numb and you can't even have sex with a person because of it. But then I realized, well, my intention back then was to just strictly come. And if you're just focusing on your clit to come, you take away, you numb actually your whole body, not the clit to come. Now we release ourselves to pleasure all over, and whatever you're using. You can use a feather, you can use a vibrator, you can use a crystal, you can use a wand, you can use a dick, you can use tongue, you can use nothing, you can use your hand, you can breathe, you can use your hips and rock. You're going to have an orgasm if you're open to pleasure all over. And you don't have to be disconnected from any other person you choose to share your body with. And so I've been on both sides, and I think this way of thinking is going to be the best way for us to not get addicted to something and then desensitize ourselves to pleasure.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really glad you distinguished all that. I'm glad you saw that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's great what you said, and yes, I agree. I agree about the connection. I agree wholeheartedly.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, because I didn't think about it until you did. You have a way of speaking that I just respond to. And I don't know if it's because you're my elder. No, I'm joking. living forever. That's why we have been talking about this. And if we don't have enough time tonight, because we always run out of time, I want to have you back on the show to talk about that. And that's why I'm bringing it up, because I think you are the oldest goddess with us tonight. And you have so much to talk about life and living forever that I think is fascinating.
I want to jump in and just mention, if women want to experiment, if they do find kind of numbing out with a vibrator, that something gentler you can try that is still stimulating is like the hose that you could hook to your bathtub where you could wash your hair with it. Yeah, so you could use this. You could lie in the tub with a little water in or no water and just have the water. You can adjust the water that's coming out of your bathtub that goes through the hose. I don't know what you call this, a hair washing, whatever.
Shower head
kind of thing. Yeah, some people have showers that are like this where you could remove the head. And I remember going to the store in Manhattan to buy one and feeling super aroused the whole time, because I knew what I was buying it for.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually adjust, and the feeling of water is a completely different sensation that you can adjust and experiment with. And I think that's the big part, is that sensualness of water is different than perhaps what you've experienced with a vibrator. So the invitation to play with that.
You know, I
that
used
sounds
to put,
good.
After I used to shower, I used to run the faucet in the tub and slide my ass underneath the faucet, put my legs up on the wall, and my ass would be flat, you know, right against the bottom of the head of the tub, and the water from the faucet would flow down between my legs and into my pussy and all over me, and that was so enjoyable because my shower head could not be removed, so I had to figure things out. Water.
Horny women are the most creative women on the planet.
That's our initiation to become goddess, because how do you release your crown chakra and think like a man unless you're going to let it flow through your pussy? Lord have mercy.
Well, and I was thinking about Lori when you spoke about the pool, and then you have those jets in the pool. Do you have one of those at least in your pool or in the hot tub? Mm-hmm. There's also water jets.
So right in my current house, I have two jacuzzi tubs. I don't have a hot tub outside right now. I had one for a long time. After I hit menopause, like, I just couldn't stand being in the hot tub anymore. But no, I don't have one of those ones in my pool, unfortunately. But my pool is still great. I just love being in the water. So the whole thing about water, whatever you just said, is all great. Being naked in water.
Oh yeah.
Is outside in water is much better than being naked inside in water.
Yeah.
Under the sun, under the moon, under the stars, whatever. That's the best. That's why I like to go to Jamaica and take people to hedonism, because you can be naked the whole time.
Oh,
and
yes.
In water.
Yes, yes. And my hot tub outside, we have the jet. So I bend over a lot in our hot tub and let it all flow into my ass and my pussy. And we've done all kinds of things. If the hot tub could speak, you know what it would say. And I like all of the pushing of water going into my body and just lying in the hot tub. I really like being naked outdoors. See, being naked outdoors is very sensual. Naked in my house, watching TV, eating soup, that's not so arousing because I'm always naked. And so, but being naked outdoors is very arousing. You know how it is. I mean, Isis, come on. You know what it's like. You come
high.
Yeah,
yeah. So I wanted to weigh in again on the vibrator piece. And hopefully you'll be able to tie all this together with the being naked outdoors. I'm an advocate of the vibrator. It was definitely how I had my first discoveries of my sexuality. And it was in my parents' room, and like the bedside table, there was a little handheld massager. And I'm like, hey, what's this? It feels good on different parts of my body. And then I'm like, oh, it feels really good on this part of my body. So it was definitely my entry point into my awakening and feeling what felt like sexual pleasure for the first time as a young girl. And then what I've noticed both in myself when I get the numbness or also work with clients is it can be anything. What's being created is literally like in yoga we would call it a samskara, or a pattern of energy that can either bring life or it can bring death. So I heard a lot of patterns we could also call rituals that bring consciousness and bring life to women, whether it's dancing naked or the shit shower and shave, or Lori on our panel, you talked about putting on the rubber gloves and doing yourself. You know, there were all these little pieces that can bring life, but there are also patterns that can bring death and a deadening. We can call those negative samskaras too. So what I find in those opportunities is, and what I think a lot of you have just shared, is around a piece around creativity, which also feels like it's the essence of sexuality. It comes from, you know, the same spaces, our creative energies, whether it's like, you know, sliding your ass and your feet up against the bathroom wall, which is actually a yoga pose called Viparita Karani, by the way. It's really good for reducing ankle swelling. And there's other wonderful health benefits too, including opening more orgasmic energy as water pours on your clit. But a piece of it also feels like being open to the creative possibilities. I had a friend that I had explored ceremony with that I trusted a lot, and we did a masturbation repatterning ceremony. We literally sat behind each other and pretended that our arms were the other person's arms, and we pleasured each other in that way. So we would have one hand on our body, and the other hand would be their hand on our body. And it's a wonderful exercise to share with a lover, and it's showing all the opportunities that you can break away from your pattern of self-pleasuring by having another person's presence and consciousness and their hand also guiding your hand and your hand guiding their hand and having this really kind of sweet interplay too. So it's just one option for breaking out of the samskara. But I also hear the collective voice of there's a lot of going to nature that keeps happening. Water sources and the wind and the elements and gardening. So, you know, Mother Nature, it's like she's always throwing something new at us. She's always, you know, primordial sexual life force energy. So I find myself, the more I'm able to kind of entrain to her energies and her cycles and whims, the more healthy and alive and present my sexuality feels. And I'm wondering, you know, what sort of like rituals or patterns outside that some of the other women are experiencing with their sexuality too in relationship to nature, because that to me feels like my direct connection to the goddess and to my own goddesshood.
Yeah, yeah. I am so touched by the ceremony that you did and that you shared with your friend. It just touched me so much in my heart. It just did. So it's beautiful.
I want to say one other thing about being naked for a second that I didn't say earlier. When you asked what we did right away, how we've been doing since we were on the panel together at the sex meeting in New York, I wanted to tell you all that the very next day I posed naked for the centerfold of the next edition of Sentient magazine.
Yeah.
And Cynthia, what we call her, one of the founders of the magazine, and she was shocked that at my age I would do that, and I told her that. So I'm 67, and they told her that I am better than ever, and that I'm physically immortal. And that was a very sensual adventure. We shot film for like 3 hours. Yeah, so that was one of those really sensual adventures, and I can't wait to be on the centerfold of that magazine. And
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it was really awesome, and I'm really proud of myself. You know, and the pictures came out great. It's not like, you know, I had good stuff to work with. I have kept myself in really great shape, so.
Good for you. Good for
Lori, that's hot as hell.
She's hot as hell. Hot as heaven. Hot as goddess.
We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. There is so much more coming on this show.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Lori Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
How did you goddesses even begin to uncover all this? There are so many different experiences you have shared. When did you start to discover these different aspects, and how did you continue to open up? I think that's just how did we become goddesses and have the nerve to call ourselves goddesses and share ourselves in the world the way we do, because before we can share ourselves in the world, we had to be able to experience it for ourselves. So how do we even step into that place to know that we were even doing this?
Yeah, such a wonderful question. I think this is Luba Saraswati. I can actually say that in the first part of my life, everything I was doing was just natural. I was aroused naturally. I liked certain types of guys, and then I would go for them, and then I would just stop liking them, and then I would immediately fall in love with some other guy, and it was just like happening like this, very, very naturally. And then at a certain point, I really wanted to own it. You know, I really didn't want to depend anymore on my attraction to a specific person. Also, that attraction to a specific person seems so impermanent. I started exploring basically Tantra, tantric practice. And that's how I learned that what I'm experiencing when I'm interacting, let's say, with a sexual partner is really me, that I have it, that it's in me, and that it is in my power to invoke it, you know? And then I just started experimenting with those things. And actually, I would definitely say that the more I worked, the more I would do different practices. Because I think it's true for most of us that stress takes away the arousal, right? So having a very, very active life definitely made me aware that I have to be very conscious of that. And also last year, all of a sudden, I started experiencing interruptions with my period and beginning of hot flashes. And that's when I really decided that I have to be very, very conscious whether I have a partner or not, and whether my partner is super hot or not, that I really, really owe it to myself to hold myself in a very sexually excited state. And also to attract other people, you can't be arousing unless you are aroused yourself. So this is really essential for my life to be essential safari and adventure. That's the way I like it. So that's what really motivated me to own this and to practice this.
That was awesome. I love how you put that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, I have something. I always say this. I mean, this is one of my opening statements, and that's that I always knew there was more to sex, that I didn't know how to reach it or get there. And
yeah.
I read an article about Margot Anand in the 80s, and then I didn't hear anything more about Tantra until the 90s. So I was already like 49 or something when I happened upon Tantra finally. And what really changed life for me was my first puja, everybody. I just want to say that to you. I was in Tantra study. I was in Tantric study. I mean, I was certainly getting a lot out of it. I was coming back to my essential beingness and who I am after being in corporate America for a long time. And then I was in Mexico at the first puja that I ever went to that was being orchestrated by someone else. And the first thing that happened was that the men came around and they kissed all the goddesses' feet and then they kissed all the goddesses' bellies, and I was a goddess. But that was my first experience of goddesshood. And those men kissed my feet and they kissed my belly, and I was crying. It was so hard for me to let in the deserving of that adoration. And they were so willing to do it, and they so adored each and every one of us. There must have been 20 goddesses in that puja. Anyway, then when we were going around, I finally got to a god's station, and he was in a hammock. I remember him. He built his temple to the goddess as a hammock. I was crying my eyes out, and I said, "This is like a dream." And he said to me, "No, this is reality. Out there is like a bad dream, but in here, we create our reality, and this can be your reality." And you know, when I left Mexico after that excursion and that experience, I changed my entire life. That one statement during that one ritual, which is why tantric ritual is so precious and so transformative. I never knew that would happen to me. I didn't imagine that could happen to me. All I know is I went home. I changed everything, my furniture, my wardrobe, my hair, my life, every way that I looked at things and saw things. And so I think that kind of goes along with what you said, Luba, only yours sounds like it was a gradual process where you were really becoming aware, and I just went like this, boom, and the lightning flashed. And that was it for me.
I feel you. Wonderful. I want to say, Luba, question for Lori. How do you stay juicy and wet over 60? I'm as dry as the Sahara Desert. Lord have mercy, Carol. I do use a yoni egg, but I'm still not as moist as I'd like to be. Any ideas?
So I wanted to say, first of all, to tell the truth, that I didn't experience dryness even before I started taking bioidentical hormones. I was well past menopause when I started using bioidentical hormones, but I never had that dryness. So what my friends tell me who have experienced that is that bioidentical hormones work for them. And I don't know if you're on them or not, but it's really important to go see a naturopath or some kind of a physician that is in tune with those. Not all physicians are, but there are some more healthy products than others. The reason I didn't take hormones at first is because it was that other stuff, that stuff that I didn't believe in, so I just didn't do it. But I would, first of all, recommend a blood panel and looking into hormones. There's many ways to take them. I use creams. And I also take two other supplements. I use two creams, and I take progesterone orally, and I also take DHEA orally. So at this age right now, I'm seeing a whole nother naturopath, and this woman knows more about hormones than anyone I've ever seen before here in Arizona. So I would just start looking around and ask people in your neighborhood, you know, in your neck of the woods, who knows someone, and start doing some investigation.
What I really want to get into the heart of what we're really about as goddesses, I want to really just make sure that we we go into the conversation and feeling what we want to, what our legacy is, what our intention is on the planet as goddesses, being out here as an example, not just about women and having good orgasms and loving how big our nipples are, our asses are, and all the dancing that we do, but our message, well, that stuff is good, though, I know, but our message on the planet, you know, what we're about. I mean, because we stand for something, we mean something. I mean, our women, everyone has gone through so much in trying to find out equal rights here, but we do this for spiritual reasons, not even religious reasons anymore. We're part of the planet. We're part of the cosmos. We're part of the universe. And so I really think it's important for us to discuss what our true mission is as we are all out here together, unified as goddesses, but we're also individual in our own mission, our own purpose. So I want to make sure that we share that with everyone with the last 2 minutes that we have. You know, men and women are listening to this. We're trying to get a grasp of what is my purpose? Why am I here? You know, because as I came out to my family and my friends, I lost my boyfriend, because they're like, just don't do the goddess initiation. We can stay together. I'm like, but we're not, this has nothing to do with our relationship. This has to do with who I am as a woman, recognizing the divine within me as goddess. So we're out here and we're sharing so much information on how women can come into their bodies and love themselves, how men can stand up as sacred masculine, and we are honoring the lingam, like I always say. What can you say that what we're out here trying to do, each of us as goddesses, as goddess sisters, as we unite, and we're also individually empowered to do what our mission is or our ministry is. How do you help a woman find their place? How do you define who you are and what you're all about? And that's what we're doing from now and from forward as we keep coming together as goddesses on our goddess panel on TV, on the radio. What can we do to keep helping people find who they are and tap into their power on the planet?
Keeni Dakini. So I spoke on the panel and I talked about that being open sexually in this country and embracing some of these things and engaging them, you're kind of going against the tide, because the field here, this country was taken over by Puritans. So there is still a Puritan undertone about the body. People freak out about breastfeeding. They sexualize the female body all the time. But when it's actually engaging a function, they freak out about it. You know, it's a very sexually repressed society and yet obsessed with sex at the same time. And so I really believe that we are revolutionaries. And this is where I put myself, that I just feel that, you know, this is where what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's my own path that I just happen to be taking people along who are interested in the same thing, that I'm very interested in using my obsessive Scorpio energy from my chart to just keep diving deeper and know myself. And so if we look at the definition of enlightenment is when you know yourself. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you have, you know, you can hold perfect alignment all the time, but maybe you know yourself enough to see where you're slipping, and then you can right yourself again. So it's not just sexuality, it's everything. It's knowing where your darkness is, where your weaknesses are. It's being willing to go places where your weaknesses are reflected to you, because more often than not, we have created covers that and blocks that we don't want to see those weaknesses. So we have built inside of us ways that we'll never see them until they're pointed out at us. So it's really being willing to put yourself in those places, those situations, those workshops where that will be reflected to you, and then to dive in and go there and work on them and to engage the inner child stuff and know that the inner child stuff cannot necessarily be healed by sex, but there has to be some nurturing that attends to the young one, so you can build up the foundation to really be a strong adult in adult relationships and adult sexuality. And I believe that this knowing of self and this strengthening of self is in itself a political act, because once you own yourself in this way, once you know yourself in this way, you own yourself. You have that sovereignty that I talked about, and then you can't just, you're not a sheeple. You can't be pushed around and just blindly led. And we know people like that, that will just believe whatever they read, whatever they hear, or they just go along with the flow of things because somebody said that's the way you do it. And on this call, on this panel, are women that don't do that. They don't just do the way other people do it because somebody told them to. It's really a revolutionary, exploratory, expanding feminine. And so that to me is, that's what I'm doing here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, wow, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, this was an amazing speech. Tini for president.
Me against Donald Trump. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I vote for you any day. So may I dovetail on that? I'd like to dovetail on what Tini just said. This is Laurie.
Yes, that's Laurie.
So I also see what we're doing is very political. I've never done anything in my life that isn't political, as far as I can tell. Everything has always been some kind of a revolution, and this is no exception. So my life seems to have that revolutionary pattern as well. And I've said for years that people who are sexually free and sovereign cannot be controlled. They can't be controlled by the church, the state, their parents, their partner. Nothing, not even themselves, because they change. They understand what change is. They understand what being in tune with the unknown is. So I agree with that so much. And then there's just a few key phrases that I have kind of lived by, and I have some newer ones. But one is, I set my vision 15 years ago as women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on earth now. And every single thing that I do is inside of the umbrella of that, women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on earth now. And I want it on earth now. I'm not waiting for it. I'm not waiting for the people who are elected into office to bring it to me or the Pope or anybody else. So I'm, just as we said earlier, all of us stated on this call, whether it's Charmaine, you dancing in your bathroom and making videotapes of it, or Luba, you dancing your way from partner to partner until you realized you needed to be untangling and salting and also realizing that you needed to dance with yourself. Or Isis dancing in her garden. I mean, for me, it's I want to dance in ecstasy now. Then there's a couple other things. Sex magic. The reason sex magic is my hot topic is because I feel if I'm going to do sex magic to materialize something on this planet, I might as well do sex magic to materialize my life going on and on and on and on. So that's what I'm using my sexual energy for. And if that isn't political, I don't know what it is, because some people think that's like sin. I should want to die and go to heaven. No, I don't. There is no such thing as far as I'm concerned. Heaven is on earth. Because I bring it. I bring it to earth in my body. Oh, there's a couple other things. Lately, I've been saying to the business people that I meet, you know, because I'm part of like a think tank, a phoenix. And the people that I meet in the business, I say, if things are off in your bedroom, they are off in your boardroom.
Got it. I got it.
The only other thing that I say all the time is you're going to breathe anyway, so you might as well breathe and squeeze. And I love it. So that's my way in on the politics of it. It's all of it. Breathing is a political act when you couple it with squeezing and making a sound. And, you know, when you think about it, if you lost your boyfriend or you lost your friends or your parents told you not to do it, I mean, really all we're talking about here is breathing and squeezing and gets us to our own sovereignty.
Yeah. Mm. Very nice. Like, I want to jump in and actually bring in a whole other aspect that I feel very, very passionate about that hasn't been yet mentioned. To me, it's also the aspect of sisterhood that we really bring in to the world by our own example of relating to each other. And as goddess sisters, we are really on a very deep level, all really in love with each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel that my nature is sacred, and it is the same nature as yours, and it is our nature. And I honor your nature, and that allows me to honor the feminine nature in myself. Together,
as we flow in like even this group call, I feel that we're giving an example and hope and inspiration for many women, especially in the Western world, who are sometimes not so used to this deep connection between women. You know, I come from Russia where this is somewhat customary to be in this kind of sisterhood, while in the Western world there was always a lot of competition. And I feel that it's very, very important for women to fully realize that another woman's got her back, or maybe a whole circle of women has got her back. And, right, I have to say that I have never experienced as much unconditional love, acceptance, and encouragement as I have in circles of goddesses and when we practice together or get on the panel together or just work together. It's truly exhilarating. And another point that I want to make is bringing in the whole idea of conscious relationships with our partners, choosing the right kind of partners, getting engaged in spiritual practice so that we would be naturally attracted to somebody who is actually good for us, right? Mm. So loving ourselves to the extent that we're naturally choosing a reward, like Goddess Charmaine, for example, definitely did quite recently, as well as Isis. It was very, very inspiring that we are able to go into relationship where we are really loved and accepted, and we don't have to be excited by some kind of drama or some kind of emotionally unavailable man in order to feel alive. Yeah, and I feel that's a huge aspect, and there is something else that I'm actually working on right now, which is really in development, but this is something that I love to explore, which is bringing men to the level of the same kind of expansion of consciousness and the same level of unconditional love and openness, and doing it together, you know. And when we are together in ecstatic sisterhood, and when we honor our own nature, we can really be really light and inspiring guides for men, for children, protectors for animals, and really real guides to the next level of consciousness of humanity. So that's where I stand.
Wonderful. Thank you. I feel your love. I feel the connection. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Isis?
I'm so glad that you brought up the piece of the sacred masculine and our men on the planet. First of all, when women gather, magic happens. And we're so blessed at this time on the planet to be living where there's, you know, you can throw a stone and hit three goddess circles. Like, the women are rising up to support themselves. Especially with the power of technology, we're hooked in to this beautiful woven web of support and information and spiritual and emotional connection with each other. And there's this piece where the women are doing all of this work and the men are like, well wait, what about us? And you know, slowly more opportunities are coming where there are more men's groups that are forming, and it's becoming more permissible for men to gather and to do work on themselves. So there was, you know, kind of like the common prophecy of like the Western woman is going to be the one to heal the world, because we have this beautiful support network. And in that, we cannot forget the men too. You know, it's our purpose. We're calling us, you know, goddess. Well, oftentimes it's, and the goddess's consort or the goddess's companion. But the godhood has to redefine and reconfigure itself too in a healthy, sacred way, so we can enter into this stage of harmony and balance and partnership. Like, all of that has to come to the table. The yin cannot come into her full manifestation without the yang also coming into that full manifestation. That's part of the work I'm doing right now with Paul Ricart integration, and also in doing that with just returning to the being in the body. And it's also this beautiful practice of naked yoga. Like, when I started teaching it, you know, it was all men who were showing up too. And there was this piece of this kind of yearning for the goddess. And the men want, they have a sort of like misunderstood relationship with a goddess, that they're working on trying to heal. And so I'm a huge advocate of just space needing to be created for the men to do the work that they're here to do, too. You know, we're having these amazing conversations, and I'm, well, where in the world is the God panel happening, too? And can we get in on that, or is it still called the Sacred Companion panel? I'm in a full respect of this new masculine coming onto the planet that is not eclipsed by the power of the feminine, but can rise and face hold for us to do our work, and in doing so is also doing their work too.
Well, it's our world, you know, so maybe together we can just claim our king, you know. Dream him awake and claim him.
Coming from a place of being what they call African-American woman, for me, stepping into, I've done a lot of healing men for a long time, coming from a place of being a sexual surrogate and then stepping into Tantra fully and healing myself, and really healing myself before I was a surrogate. There was no way I could do that if I wasn't healing myself. Now, as women and coming together, I want to add my ministry and my mission also to unite African-American women into their power. You know, sisters are sisters. We're all sisters. It doesn't matter what race you are. But I also want to break the curse of the black race. You know, we have what we call seven shades of black, and we have racism within our own people. And my work in uniting together with more women and goddesses and looking for the black goddesses out there, because all I get, all kinds of emails I've been getting for years, I'm so glad I found a goddess that's black. I'm so happy that a black woman is out there calling herself a goddess. I'm so happy I found someone that looks like me. And I am happy you found me. But now I need you. And I want all of us together as women, as goddesses, as sisters. Also, I don't know if any other race of women have ever found the challenge and the tribulations and the hurt and the pain and the anger and the separatism that has occurred in the black race. And black women need to find their power and their pussies and their hearts and connect them to their relationship to themselves as goddess and to their relationship to themselves and sisterhood and women. And I have found so much healing in my relationship with all women that call themselves, and I'm saying call themselves goddesses, because when we do that, society gets fucked up and we say, how could you call yourself a goddess? And that's why I say it. But we know who we are. And I love Isis, Lori, Teenie, Luba, I need you. We evolve together. We bless each other. And that's why we're on this panel together, because we're always going to be together. But my mission on this planet also is to bring the African-American women together to heal and to empower themselves, because we have chosen to give up our power from slavery, from all the things that we've been through from generations and 2,000 years before, of giving up our power so that every other person could live on top of our own backs. And so I go through this every day with all the women that I connect with to show what it is to be a goddess, but also what it is to be a black woman goddess. And that's become more and more powerful, especially marrying a white man who recognizes me as goddess ultimate. And then I tell everybody, he's the black one, not me. But, you know, I'm just trying to share what that joy is like, as he's taking in on the race all the way, you know. And so for me, that is really what's been really important as a black woman. I have to identify myself that way to come into this place of ownership as goddess and to share my mission in my second Sunday services and the rituals I do and the breaking the curse and the blocks of being enslaved to being and the consciousness of the oppressed person, to making the choice to be enslaved, to making the choice to be an oppressed woman, to be abused in all kinds of ways that has happened only because you're black. So I come into this world with the mission of, we are empowered, we are free, and we can take back our power as a black woman and to release ourselves to be free as goddess and with all the names they have out there for us. But I do that not alone. I do that with all the goddesses that are on this panel with me right now. We do that, women, to recognize each other, because of all the races coming together, ultimately we're all in the same pile and we're all the same color. And that's really what we have to remember as we all choose to come back on our panel together, to hold each other in our hearts. And I told you goddesses before the show started,
I needed to rest in your arms to get us through even the show tonight, because I know I'm not alone, and I know I can ask for help, whether you're black or white or Russian or Spanish or whatever you want to call yourself, if we have to define ourselves through race. But I know that as women of races, we come together as God says on the planet Earth, and we are going to be examples for everyone that's listening to us, that's going to see us and see everything that we're doing, from sexual, profane sex, from spiritual sex, from sexy bodies, from all alterations of bodies, from the manifestation of the elements in our gardens and our naked bodies and our sarongs and our rituals and our sacred masculine relationships and everything that we choose to do. We are magical beyond all belief. We are powerful beyond all belief. And we can pray and heal and sex and use yoni eggs and use crystals and use wands and speak in tongues and then sing and dance naked and belly dance and show ourselves as much as we can. But if we don't do it together, you know what's next. We don't have a hope. We have to be together in everything that we're doing, no matter what individual track we have as an individual woman. And I am so happy to have you all here tonight. But that's what my mission is about as a black woman, to stand here as Reverend Goddess Charmaine, Ghetto Goddess, Mother Goddess, Harmony Goddess, Love Goddess, Sexy Goddess. I says, you know all the names I've been through. But you feel me. And so I just want to say that that's what's going on here. When women, you are coming out and owning your goddess, your goddesshood, and getting into your ceremony that we all are about. We all are initiated in our own very special ways. Run to it. Don't run away from it. Run to it and stand up and share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Stand up and scream it out loud, because we've already taken the lashes. So you can now do it and stand out there, because there's no more suffering in the way that we've all already been through it. And then we can have all the multiple orgasms together.
Thank you. I'm so excited about what you just said. I'm turned on, I'm orgasmic, and I'm excited about what you just said.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot of, feeling very profound love right now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I look forward to our next time together, and wherever you will see us, whether it's on radio, on TV, in person, New York, Arizona, Boston, Massachusetts, Canada, any place, in my backyard, we're going to make miracles happen forever, because we are all connected as goddesses. And I thank you all so much. We were blessed with Luba Saraswati, Lori Handlers, Isis Phoenix, Kini Dakini, my goddess.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this show. I enjoyed listening to it again, and I'm sure I will listen to it again. Please tune in next time when I'll have another guest who will increase your sex and your happiness and ultimately your well-being. This is Lori Handler signing off. Until then.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.